I am like literally bringing back all these amazing people that I've been speaking to throughout the year, throughout the pandemics. And I go in, we are not going to stop the conversation. We're going to continue the conversation to hear not only what they're doing, what their year has been like, but also how they are changing. Because the world is gonna, like, the world is waking up, I should say. The world is waking up. And so we're changing. So I have three amazing women that I interviewed before, and I'm going to interview them again. We're gonna like just like continue these conversations throughout. And we're gonna start with introductions. So, Karen. Oh, I'm so sorry. Is it Karen or Noelle?
Noelle.
Noelle. We'll start with Noelle first. I'm so sorry. Noelle, go ahead.
No worries at all. Yeah, thanks so much, Jody, for doing this. You know, it means a lot to me as a business owner and someone who's active in the community to have a voice and to have a connection. And I want to say that I really very much appreciate all the effort you've been making to give me a platform, but also other people all around the world. I've enjoyed watching the interview so much. So my name is Noelle LeBlanc, and I run Workloft, which is based in Marblehead, Massachusetts, and it is a shared workspace. And I'm sure you can imagine that operating a shared workspace has had its challenges over the last year. It's been a really wonderful experience. I never would have known when we were speaking a year ago. I never would have known how rewarding the year was going to be. So actually, I'm looking back. I haven't even stopped to look back on it until you asked the question. Isn't that great? It's been good.
Chandra.
Hey, so thank you, first of all, for the opportunity. My name is Sharonda White. I'm founder and CEO of CauseEDU, which is a platform that's working to democratize the college financial planning process. And so what we do is we bring together financial advisors, financial aid counselors, college admissions counselors, tax consultants onto one platform, charge families one low annual fee, and help them to determine the best college for them and how best to pay for it. This past year has been very difficult for us over at CauseEDU in terms of working with families. And of course, during the pandemic, if you're a parent and you're now working from home and also now, teaching your students it's hard. It was very hard for them. And so families were basically putting us off. And so what we did, we switched to a B2B kind of approach where we were working with schools and education organizations. And so we had to change our approach. We are really picking back up now in terms of schools wanting to work with us for the fall semester. So it's been a shift, not in our content, but really in our strategy of reaching customers. So it's been a challenge. It's been very, very interesting.
Karen.
All right, I'm Karen Giuliano, and I'm a founder and CEO of Paycenter and Associates, which is a product development firm. So my background is I'm a nurse, and then I spent over 20 years in business and various businesses helping companies develop products, large, medium, and small companies. And one of the things that maybe folks who aren't a nurse haven't thought of is that nurses are the largest profession in the U.S. It's the only group of healthcare professionals that spend 24/7 with the patients, and regardless of the setting. So whether you're in the hospital, the home, or anywhere in between. And then because of that, nurses use more products and more services than anybody else. Unfortunately, historically, nurses haven't been involved in the product development process, which is clearly a disconnect because you really need the end users to help build the best, most cost-effective solutions. So my goal is to work with companies to make sure that the nursing or the front line clinician perspective gets built into every product that they need to use so that they can design the right products that work the best and that are the most cost effective. So for me, working over this year is it's really the business hasn't slowed down, but it shifted dramatically. One of the things that's become so, for me, so notable is that some businesses really had trouble and struggled during COVID because of their business model or the type of product or service they offered. But it also, on the flip side, offered opportunity for tremendous creativity for either current businesses to shift their business focus, just like you did, or also for businesses that weren't even in existence to start something new. And it actually really, from a nursing perspective, you can't turn on the TV and not see some story about a nurse doing something that's made a difference in COVID. So it's been very interesting in that it's been busy, but completely shifted the projects and the clients that I worked with over the year.
I love it. I mean, you know what? I think that I have witnessed, I mean, like, I've witnessed each one of your industries change dramatically in so many different ways. And I mean, I'm just going to start with Sharonda. Education. I mean, we watch these students shift from, I mean, the rush of the students leaving their classrooms, and they're like, okay, I'm now home again. I mean, like, oh my God, I'm this college student, I'm senior, I'm a graduate student. And all of a sudden I feel like I'm a 12-year-old kid back in my parents' house. And I'm now having to do all my work from home in my bedroom. And every single time I'm on the computer, not realizing that a lot of parents don't realize that they're in front of the computer a lot for schoolwork, not fooling around. The pressures, the stress, and even just those students that are like, how am I going to find money to pay for the next year? And is it worth it to pay for the next year? So how has it, I mean, what is one of the biggest struggles that you've been dealing with overall with convincing parents if it's worth paying that money? And also those individuals that are like, I need to go back. I mean, for my sanity, for my enjoyment, for my love of being with my classmates, what have you heard, and what has been by far one of the biggest struggles with all of that and with what you're doing?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest struggles for students is number one, overcoming the perception that online learning is the way to go. We keep hearing online learning is, you know, the way of the future and all of these things, but students are saying, I'm struggling. I cannot handle online learning. I cannot handle hours and hours of classes on Zoom. I need to be in a classroom. That's what the students are saying. And so they want to be on campus. They understand the risks in terms of COVID, but they want to be on campus in a classroom where they can better focus. Their grades are really suffering right now, largely. And so they want to be there. And so for them, they're understanding now even more the importance of going away to college, getting away from their families when they're stuck at home all day, every day. And especially, I know it's hard for students who, you know, they thought they'd be free by now. You know, it's different. I get different perspectives from the students who were finally able to get away and go away to school, and now they're back home and they're disappointed. Like, I worked so hard to get away and now I'm back. But then even the students who were saying, I don't even get a chance to leave. This is my freshman year and I'm still at home with my parents 24/7. This is hard. And so there's already depression kicking in, because they're not around their friends, whether they're home or away, they thought they'd be with friends. And so they're not around their friends. They're stuck with their parents. There are students who have really horrible family lives, actually. Some schools are actually allowing students to come on campus if they're having home issues. But there are students who thought they'd be able to get away, not just for freedom, but from bad home situations. And so for students, the importance of going away to college is even stronger now than it was. Parents are the ones saying, why am I paying for Zoom University? Why am I paying full price when my student is doing everything online and they can get an online education for significantly less? But the students are pushing back saying, I need to stay at this school because next year things will be different, versus going somewhere else to a community college or wherever where it might be less expensive, but now you've got to transfer in the next year and lose credits. So students are thinking more in terms of like the long term. And parents are thinking more of the immediate financial consequences of paying all of this money, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for tuition for those students to sit at home in front of a computer.
Mm-hmm. Noelle, that just goes right to you, where the parents are feeling the same pain point. They're feeling the same pain point. And you have a workspace where, all right, you know what? If every single person is taking up a space in my house, how am I doing my job and how am I doing my calls? And yet, now I have a place that's localized. And so a lot of individuals don't even realize that there are workspaces in their own towns, in their own spaces, instead of just like going to a Boston, a WeWork, not bashing a WeWork or a workspace, I think that's what it's called in Boston, that there are these larger firms, but I'm not leaving my town. I'm not going to the city. A lot of places are closed off. What have you found? What has been the conversation for you dealing with individuals where I have a home, I could work from there, but it's just not conducive with everyone being in the house?
Jody, you've put your finger right on it. And this is what I didn't entirely see coming when we were speaking this time last year. It's not easy for everyone to work from home. Not everybody has a 3,000 square foot house with 5 bedrooms and an office and a living room and a huge kitchen island. And with all the kids being home for a lot of the year, you know, now there's kids, they're doing their lessons on Zoom. There's the dog, there's the laundry. You know, all these things that spell domestic bliss make it really hard to get through a workday in a focused fashion. And a lot of people kind of hit a bit of a wall, some sooner than others, to saying this does not work for me anymore. And I can't get my job done. And wow, you know, if I can't perform to expectation at work, what's going to happen to my job in this economy? I have to do something. And so a lot of people called me up. I'd say it was probably about 6 months ago I started seeing the real rush, saying, I can't be at home anymore, and I don't want to be in a conventional shared workspace where there are people all around me. What do you have for me? Now, obviously, long before that, we'd gone back and rearranged the space because we were hit with capacity restrictions. First, we were closed for a few months. Then when we were allowed to open, we had an extremely limited capacity. So I had a moving truck out front here, you know, come and haul away more than half the furniture and just get it out of my building, because I wanted to offer this space that looked and felt and behaved very, very spaciously, gave everyone a lot of personal room. Nevertheless, you know, people still had concerns about, you know, even if there was only, you know, one person in a room, they still psychologically didn't want to say, I'm going to work in an open space. What ended up happening is all the private office got filled up. So, I've been running at full capacity on the private offices for several months now. And obviously I'm very optimistic and hopeful that things will improve very quickly now, hopefully, touch wood, to the point where people are comfortable sitting in an open space. I'm not to the point yet where I can bring the moving truck back and bring all the furniture back in. But it's been an interesting dynamic, you know, and I think a lot of people, you know, for example, I love being at home. I have an environment where I could work at home if I wanted to. But I think that a lot of people aren't sensitive to how difficult it really has been for a lot of families, especially think of two-income families. And now I'll share something. This is a group of women, even though I know the audience won't be exclusively women. But I can tell you that what's happening in the workforce for women, I see playing itself out here at WorkLoft in terms of my demographic. So before we used to have easily 50-50 men and women, and now it's almost exclusively men who are in here. And what I've found is that, you know, it's funny, the woman in a male-female married couple, the woman's been the one to come in and say, this isn't working anymore. We got to get out. We got to change something. Can I find an office that both my husband and I can use? And she doesn't come back. The husband's the one who comes back. And it breaks my heart. And we all see it happening. But, you know, I think the women are the ones who are really being pressed in this. In not to say men don't have pressure on them, right? But why aren't the women here? They're at home. They're doing they're helping the kids. They're keeping the house functioning. And by the way, they're trying. They're the ones who are trying to do their job at the kitchen island. So it's been rough. I'm glad I've been able to be here and, you know, to be in a position to help people. Certainly it's helped me survive as, you know, as a company that people have come to me. And so I'm grateful. I'm very grateful for the way the last year has rolled out. And man, I'm hoping for better days real soon.
they're coming. They're definitely coming. Karen, you are in, so you're in a balance of both worlds. The nurses, boy, oh boy, those first responders, I mean, they have done so much in so many different ways with nothing. I mean, I've watched stories after story after story of being in situations where we're being given nothing, but we're being scolded if we're not saving the world. Mm-hmm. And so how are you, you're watching your peers, and yet at the same time, there's the innovation of there's so much that we can learn from the situation. And there's so much equipment or things that could have been developed to make this better faster. But yet a lot of hospitals don't put a lot more, they don't invest as much more in innovation as they should. And mm-hmm. so for you, bouncing those both worlds, how has it been with you where what should have been done now that we can see a full year has gone by, what should have been done? You're in that innovation world. You see all these different products, all the different times. You're seeing hospitals saying, it's not in my budget, but guess what? Like, how do we reevaluate what the nurses are going through and where the hospital should go going forward?
Yeah, it has been. It's been a tough year for nurses. I mean, yes, they have done, you know, they're the backbone of the healthcare system in the U.S. based on their sheer numbers. And again, the proximity to the patient. But the need for nurses far outstrips in COVID the availability of the applicant pool. One of the things that's been interesting is nurses are leaving their regular jobs because they can go do travel assignments for 10x the amount of money. So they might go travel to California for, they can make as much in a 3-month contract as they can make in a year in their regular job. So a lot of people that are able to do it because their home situation for one reason or another is able to allow it are doing that. So that's something we've never seen. One of my friends who's a nurse owns a staffing agency. And at one point he told me he had 15,000 contract openings for critical care nurses. That's one agency. Crazy. So the need for the bedside nurse, and the need is just as great for medical surgical nurses as well. But the critical care nurses, because of the nature of what they're able to do, is even, you know, are probably in the highest demand. So that's one thing that's been interesting. But the other thing is you're right. Hospitals don't, that'll lead to my ask later, but hospitals don't do a good job. Only part of my ask, don't do a good job in allowing nurses' roles to be expanded to include activities that are outside of the direct patient care. I think it's history, it's budgets, it's a whole bunch of reasons. And so people, but there's the nurses are the ones that have so many good ideas for ways to influence and improve the healthcare system. So unfortunately, the ones that are able to do that really have to do it as not part of their day job. So now let's just add a whole nother dimension to, you know, an already pretty stressful and busy job is if they have to do it as a one-off or as a side job or at night after the kids go to bed or whatever. But so many nurses, I think this partly comes to what I spoke about a little bit before, are so committed that they are doing it. And in fact, Johnson & Johnson has been really good about supporting nurse innovation. They've been doing that for quite some time, long before COVID. And one of the things they do several times a year is they put out calls for innovation awards where they'll provide up to $100,000 of funding for nurse-funded projects for various things. And I'm a reviewer for those projects. Oh my gosh, some of the stuff these people, the creative things that these nurses are thinking of, and 99% of them are doing it as outside of their regular day job. So that's been really impressive and it's been ramped up even more. And in fact, one of their calls was specifically for COVID. And then the last one we just did that I just did a couple of weeks ago was for mental health. And so to speak to some of the stuff that we've already talked about today on this call, and there are some real creative ways to address that.
You know what? I love the fact that the three of you guys in talking about what's going on in your worlds touched about two things that are very clear is about women and mental care. So just this is like a full-on group discussion where we are seeing amongst all ages, I've hit my capacity. I cannot take it anymore. So when we say the word mental care, there's so much stigma to it where I try to make it really easy for people where like I go, have you reached your capacity? Because when you get to the point where you reach that capacity, you're like, I can't do it anymore. And yet you don't want to ask for help. A lot of the women that are not going back, I mean, you're seeing studies, the amount of women have left their jobs because they had to take care of their home. Someone got sick from COVID where I'm the only person and who makes the most money. And although I could have been the one that makes the most money, I'm still the one that takes care of the kids and everything else in the household. You're seeing the nurses where if I'm leaving my home to make more money, 10 times the amount of money, but I'm leaving my family to do that because I'm not making that money. And like, I'm working 10 zillion hours in the hospital. I'm not making that money. So I'm leaving my family for a quarter. I'm leaving my family for 3 months just so that way we can be able to provide and to keep our homes. And you're hearing, I mean, you're seeing nurses losing their homes, which is the most insane thing that I could ever hear. I go, and you're seeing a lot of these teachers, a lot of these teachers are taking early retirement because they're like, okay, what do I have to balance? Being a professor at a university or college or teaching? I mean, like, I just can't do it all. So what are you guys, what are your thoughts in regards of how do we, where do we go from here? Basically, where do we go from here? Where, how do we get the Wuhan women back in the workforce, back in areas where they can be, all right, I can't go back into the office. I have to still maintain, but I can be in a workplace. I could be a nurse. I could be a little bit of everything to everyone. I can go back to school and get that education without fearing that, that price point. So what is, what do we do? Where do we go? How do we make some inroads? That was a loaded question, was it not?
Anybody that has the answer to that could start their own business to try to fix it. I think it, I think really what it does is raise issues that have been a little less, that have been there and I think have been talked about, and, but have been a little less obvious. And now they're smack in the forefront.
You're so right, Karen. I think you're so right about that, Karen. Hasn't it just something that was maybe easy to brush under the rug is now painfully obvious for anyone who wants to open their eyes.
Exactly. And now the kids aren't even going off to school from 7 to 3. So, you know, you don't get the usual time, whether you're working at home or trying to go to work and get a shift in that even was available prior to COVID.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah,
I would say that while neither Noel nor Workloft can solve the problem, definitely we are in a position to help some people because what we're offering here is a quiet, zen-like, professional, beautiful, sparkling office setting where all you have to think about when you come in here is your work. Mm. And you know, that's enough, right? but all of those distractions, they will all still be there when you get home. I can promise that. But at least while you're here, whether you're a man or you're a woman, it's about how can I have my best day at work? How can I be the best version of myself for my career today? How can I really show up and focus and bring it? And not worry about anything else. And yeah, you know, maybe I'm only here for 3 or 4 hours today because I have to go home and get on the kids to do their homework or whatever it is. The chaos can, you know, resume when you get back home. And I understand that that it's only a temporary fix. But I do see it helping a lot of people. I see it helping a lot of people keep their sanity because at least there's one place you can come where everything isn't pulling on you all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you don't have to see the dog or the kid jump into the Zoom.
A few people have even asked me, can I bring my pet in into Workloft? And I've had to say, no, I'm a dog lover. I'm a huge dog lover. I have 2 dogs. I would like nothing better than to have them both on my lap right now and Zoom bombing this nice panel discussion. But I've had to tell people, this is where people come to get away from all those gorgeous domestic distractions. So we have to leave the dogs at home. We have to leave the kids at home. Otherwise, this is home and people are right back in it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think as Noel alluded to, there are short-term solutions and there are long-term solutions, right? And we need to kind of separate the two. We can't look at it and just say, this is a huge problem. It's going to take years to fix because the reality is there are some things that need to be done right now. There are people who are stressed right now. There are people who are stretched to their limit right now. And so if being able to get out of home and go into this office for a few hours a day or a few hours per week is what someone needs in order to maintain their sanity, that's what they should do. For students, I have to remind them, you know, you're going to be alive for probably like 80 years. And so you might think at 20 years old that your life is over because you're back at home. But the reality is this is maybe 18 months of this out of a whole lifetime. You know, you've been in school for 13 years at this point, and so, or 14 years at this point. And so this might be a 12-month period where you're stuck at home and you didn't think you would be, that's out of 18 years. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. So I think the main thing is understanding what you need right now to get through today, to get through this week, to get through this month, to get through this year. I've had students that I've counseled where a few of them have had to take the semester off because for their mental health, that's what was needed.
Yeah.
They could push through, they could try to get to the end of the semester, but they will break down and they're not going to make it. And so they've said, you know what? I'm going to take the semester off. I'm going to go for walks. I'm going to, you know, do things to protect my mental health. And then there are students who say, I'm going to push through, but I need resources in order to do that. I need, whether it's being able to get out of the house, whether it's mental health resources, whatever the case is, I need, or even if it's just students coming together and doing a Zoom study group, so that way they're not alone in their room in front of a computer, but there are other people that they can see. But just understanding what you need right now, and then also what you need long-term.
Karen, do you think, or do you know if the hospitals are providing support for the nurses? Because it's been a long year and they've been go. But, I've said this to a lot of people, we're going to experience PTSD once the world is open. You're going to be at a train station and someone's going to be just too close to you. You're going to be in your office space and you're not even paying attention and someone doesn't wash their hands. I mean, you're going to be just anywhere. I mean, the little things that for a year we've been so on top of, and people are going to like just not react the way that they usually would. So are the hospitals providing for the hospital workers that have been, they've been in this? I mean, we've been home, but they've been in it.
Honestly, I don't know offhand, but I can't imagine that some of them haven't gotten programs together because they recognize this probably much better than we do. So that's number one. But number two, I know through that mental health challenge that I just reviewed, a lot of the proposals were for exactly that, mental health support of various degrees for hospital nurses. And in fact, one of my colleagues at the University of Massachusetts, her name's Dr. Ginny Chandler, has been developing a program called Changing Minds, Changing Lives. And she's been working on this for a long time. She started with athletes because of the pressures of coming in as a freshman and trying to balance a Division I, you know, athletic commitment with trying to actually get an education as well. And now has since, is turning that into a business actually. Her whole program is around building resilience from a, not pick it up, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, do it yourself sort of method, but a very supportive, tested method that she's used. So I think that's another opportunity where you'll see lots of it. You'll see lots of options that hospitals can tap into. They're probably not, most of them probably aren't in a position to do it themselves, especially since they're stretched thin. Plus people think that hospitals make all kinds of money. Now there are some that do, but most hospitals are working on razor thin margins. So they don't have a ton of extra bandwidth, and now throw COVID in and there's all those added expenses with staffing and with supplies that really don't fit into the budget. But the nurses, many of the nurses are developing programs that I think hospitals then could tap into or buy into or use in some way, shape, or form. So I think they will be stuff there soon.
Sharonda, schools are going to, they're already announcing that high schools and elementary schools can start going back in April. A lot of people are freaking out. Parents are freaking out. Teachers are like, are we going to get vaccinated before we go? Colleges have been like half in, half out. This semester seems very, very odd for a lot of universities and colleges still doing the pass fail for students versus like a set grade. A lot of really amazing professors that were in the schools. That's why students that went there took early retirement. What does school look like now this year is done for them because May is when school would end anyway. And also the last one where a lot of standardized tests are being taken off the table. No more GMATs or SATs. I don't know if it's forever, but right now they're being taken off the table. What do you see the school systems looking like, colleges looking like next year? I won't say future. I'm like next year. What do you see that looking like? for a lot of these students. I mean, even in Massachusetts, we have over 215 universities, colleges, and trade schools in this tiny little state of ours. I mean, we're the mecca of education. A lot of schools have shut down. So what does it look like now?
That's a great question. The short answer is I can only guess. I know that number one, as you mentioned, there are professors, there are teachers who are retiring, there are administrators who are retiring. I used to work for a school system where half of the top administrators have retired, or not retired, but have left in the past 12 months because they are just, they're done. They're exhausted and they are done. And with all of the back and forth about when schools are going back fully, and even now with the COVID vaccine still being emergency use authorization, which means that schools cannot mandate that students are vaccinated before they come back. As long as it's emergency use authorization, they cannot mandate that students are vaccinated. Once that changes, I'm sure they will, but do we know if that'll happen before August? Do we know if that'll happen before schools fully open? We don't know. As of right now, we don't know. And so students, for the most part, are actually pretty anxious to get back. Teachers and professors, from what I've heard, a lot of them are scared. Especially, you know, if they have health issues, if they're older, they're not being given any sort of pass. And so not pass, but they're not being told, okay, you're older or you have health issues, you don't have to come back. It's more so, this is what our plan is in terms of reopening. And so teachers and professors are concerned. They're scared. They're wondering, are they going to be able to be vaccinated before they come back? And as of right now, there's no guarantee that they can be. And so I've talked to professors, I've talked to teachers who are saying, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Parents, of course, are concerned about sending their children, their students, I guess I can't say children, but their technically adults, back to college campuses where they have the freedom to go out and go to parties and do the things that parents cannot supervise. And they're not sure what's going to happen to their kids. And there was a school, I don't remember if it was it Vanderbilt or some school that just had to shut down to all the students, you have to stay in your dorms, you cannot leave, because there were all these frat parties and hundreds of students came up COVID positive. That just happened over the weekend. And so students are not, at the college level especially, are not going to be as careful as they could be. They're not going to take it as seriously as they should. And so you're going to see in the fall, schools reopening, students going back, students not being careful, COVID cases increasing. I don't want to say spiking because with the vaccines, hopefully they won't spike, but we don't know. But we're going to see all of that happening. We're going to see a lot of challenges coming up in the fall semester. And I think we're going to see a lot of professors probably taking early retirement, administrators too, possibly taking early retirement because they don't want to risk their lives on these huge open campuses where anything could really happen. I actually know the teacher who had to go into quarantine twice in one semester because of positive COVID cases. And she had to get tested. She had to go into quarantine. This is in one semester. And this was just as of earlier this month. And so you don't know how many more times that's going to happen. But if you have to keep going into quarantine, at a certain point, you're going to say, this is, I'm done.
Yeah.
Literally like one more question to Noelle before I asked my question. So start you, Karen, and I mean Sharonda, start thinking about your, the question that's coming. Noelle, offices, they just announced this morning. And yes, like I usually say don't use timing wise in regards to the time reference, but I'm saying this morning they just announced how a lot of big companies are like putting timelines. They're being cautious, but they're putting timelines on when people need to go back to the offices. So what does that mean for open spaces? Like, I mean, what does it mean? Because think about this. We used to all have walls. Everyone used to have a wall, and now we have open spaces. And then now that the pandemic puts in, are the walls going back up, number one? And number two, for office spaces like yours, what does that mean for someone that has to go back into the office space?
So, right, let's stay tuned. I mean, I think this is all evolving, and we won't really know what it will be until it's already happened. But I can tell you that while I do hear a lot of companies telling employees that they can come back at a certain point, I have not heard, I want to say I haven't even heard any major employer that I am familiar with saying you must come back according to a certain timeline. I think that this whole shift to remote working has been a largely positive experience for the employers, not necessarily for the employee. It's hard to be isolated from everyone. It's hard to find motivation every single morning to keep fighting and keep winning when you're alone. The isolation is really, really hard. But it has actually been fairly positive for most employers. Productivity has gone up. Mm-hmm. Costs have gone down. A lot of companies have either been canceling leases, or when the leases come up for renewal, they've simply said, no, don't need it anymore. I've learned over the past 9-12 months that, you know, my team is humming right along, and why should I spend all that money on a headquarters where people may or may not feel comfortable ever coming back to? So, you know, to your question, are the walls going up? I do think that in organizations where the physical presence is a requirement, then yes, I do expect that we'll start to see more build out of private spaces or secluded spaces, you know, partitions, things like that. Ugh, back to the dreaded cubicle, let's hope not. Those are soul crushing, you know, who wants to work in a cubicle? But I do think that more build out when, you know, in the places where physical presence is required, yes, probably some more build out and some rethinking of the space is happening right now in preparation for people being able to come back safely. But I think that where location independent professions are concerned, I strongly doubt that the surge back to the office is ever going to happen. I mean, yeah. I shouldn't say ever, but for the foreseeable future, I just don't see it happening. And, you know, a lot of people have come to enjoy their new habits. It's nice not to have a commute. Mm-hmm. Really nice. It's nice to wear sweatpants. I mean, I don't know what the rest of you have on your bottoms this morning, but I'm wearing a nice stretchy pair of pants and I'm just fine with that. I don't care if that ever changes. You know, I am fine with that. But people have gotten used to these things. It is very nice to be able to walk the dog. It's very nice to be able to, you know, not have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to hurry up and beat rush hour into a congested city with expensive parking all day. So I don't know. I don't think we're going back to the way it was for a long, long time, Jody. Who knows?
All right. So my favorite, the question that everyone knows, that like, this is my thing, because everyone has, a lot of people just don't want to ask for help, but this is a way where I'm making you guys ask for help. So of all of you, think about your two answers from all of you, your professional ask and your personal ask. If you had a personal ask and a professional ask of anyone that's listening to you now, because they listened to you a year ago, you're asking your ask was different. And so we are full year from the time that I spoke to you, which is crazy. Like, I mean, I should say a month short of a year, but it's crazy how I spoke to you guys. I mean, Noelle, I think you were number three. You were the third person that I interviewed of all, but what would be your personal ask and what would be your professional ask of anyone that's listening? And whoever wants to go first.
I don't mind going first. I'll say my professional ask is that both in the clinical setting and then in the business settings from companies, small, medium, and large, move as fast as you possibly can to make sure that you integrate end users in your product development. And in my case, nurse end users into the products and services. It will serve your company well. You'll make more money. You'll make better products. It'll make the nurse's life easier. And most importantly, it's going to improve care for patients. And then it should save money overall for the U.S. healthcare system, which is a benefit to us all. And then my personal ask is fortunately for me, I've been lucky in that I don't have young children at home or teenagers or college kids. My children are both young professionals, so they're recently out of the house. So I don't have a lot of demands on my time at home. So that's been good. From one way, but it's been extremely isolating. I am home. I've been home every day, all day for a year by myself. So please call me and invite me over as soon as it's safe for dinner in person.
I love it.
Who wants to go next?
I guess I'll go next. So for me, the professional ask is this: for high schools, Your guidance counselors are overwhelmed, and they're going to be even more overwhelmed. And they don't understand, for the most part, the new rules and all the things that are changing when it comes to financial aid and paying for college. So we are working with high schools, we're working with education organizations, but the ask, the professional ask really is to work with us, to work with COSE EDU, because the reality is your guidance counselors, especially with students, whether they're hybrid or starting to come back to campus or at home, they are struggling, they need other resources. And so if you don't have the time or the resources or the availability to outsource the paying for college aspects and helping students with the planning, outsource that to companies that know how to do it and that are only doing it, that are exclusively doing it, like COSE EDU. So that's the professional ask. The personal ask is really for everyone, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a parent, whether you're trying to homeschool full-time as well as work from home full-time, all the things that you have going on, students especially, check your mental health. It's been a year. It's been a year of isolation for a lot of people. It's been a year of things not going as planned. Just make sure that you're okay and do what you need to for you. Because if you don't, it's going to compound, it's going to get worse. But definitely check on your mental health and check on others, especially for people who don't have maybe internet access, who are not internet savvy, check on them because they've been even more isolated than we have. We complain about Zoom, but the reality is there are people who don't know how to use Zoom. There are people who have been disconnected for an entire year. So check on them too.
Noelle.
How do I follow that? Yeah. Professional ask. Don't imagine that a rented office or a shared workspace is something for somebody else, but not for me. Oh, my job's not important enough. I don't need that. It's not about your job, and it's not about how important your job is. It's about your ability to show up and be the best that you can in your career for a few hours a day, for a few days a week, whatever it happens to be. We have plans to help, you know, to fit all price sort of, to fit all budgets. And, you know, we and other shared workspaces around the country will find a way to, you know, get you into a nice productive space to make the best of your workday that you can. So that's the professional ask is don't be shy. The personal ask is I'm fortunate, you know, I have what I need. So I guess it's more of a societal thing is I would really, really, really be delighted to see people be very slow to judge others in this time. I think that a lot of people are very quick to project their own circumstances on others and make assumptions about what might be going on in other people's lives to try to explain why they see the world the way they do, why they're doing what they're doing, why they're behaving the way they're doing. And you know, I think maybe extending a little bit more compassion and a little bit more understanding and saying, gosh, maybe I don't know everything there is to know there. So I'm just gonna step back and I'm just gonna withhold my judgment for a little while. And you know, get to know what's going on and see how I can be a positive force. A little bit too much negativity going on these days, but fundamentally, I think everybody wants to do right by each other. And let's, you know, if everyone could focus on that just a couple times a day, I think my world would be a happier place.
And this is why I continue to do these, because this makes me smile. Ladies, thank you so very much. I ask literally just like to take 30 minutes of your time and then I take an hour. So, because it's just, you know, what you are saying is so powerful. It's informative. A lot of time it's entertaining. I mean, it's, you guys provide so much for a community that just isn't talking or is not able to be given a voice because they're not a story. And so I want to make sure that, like normal, and I like the word normal is just to be really annihilated, because it's like there has to be a better way to say that you're the everyday individuals that are working really hard, that are making a difference, and your voices just need to be heard, as simple as can be. So Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for again being here. And again, as I say, this is not the last time. There'll be many more conversations, but I had to sit there and mark a year. I mean, we made it past a year, and then we're going to make it for many more. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.